Welcome back to Tip TV Finance with me, Jenny Hammond and Zach Mir. And with us, we have Charlie Long, resource analyst from Beaufort Securities. Now, first off, I think we're going to start with China, is that right?
Yes, I know we talk about China for a bit, just to point out that we need to be wary of the Chinese debt situation and the direction of China.
But it's not looking so good in the Chinese fixed asset investment.
Well, it's not so bad. I mean, it's still growing, as you can see. These are percentages on the left. So it has been growing extremely fast. So the people, the countries, the businesses especially are still investing, you know, just under 10% per year growth in investment. So imagine ever increasing economy is still growing at that rate. That's not to be sniffed at. It's just the direction is in the wrong way. And if that trend continues, then for a developing economy, which China still is, you know, you still got hundreds of millions of people in basically poverty outside of the main cities. They need a fast-growing economy, and obviously going to have some issues internally. So if we go to the next slide, you have a similar situation. Retail sales actually a bit flatter there, but you can see the trend is down. And this is an economy that's supposed to be going from, you know, an investment-based economy and an export mercantilist economy to a more retail-driven economy. So that's very important, the direction of that line. And, you know, it's kind of flat at the moment, which I guess is fine. But the point about China is, you know, this is part of the picture, but the debt situation is still fairly serious, and it worries a lot of people. The growth, the corporate earnings growth, is a little bit like America. I think in H1 this year, the corporate earnings of the listed Chinese companies was down 5.5% year on year. So you've got slowing corporate earnings growth, you've got increasing debt, and the fiscal stimulus that the government is using is having less of an impact than it did in the past. And so although commodity prices are going up for many reasons, and, you know, we'll talk about Trump in a second and the impact there, I think you have to be wary about what might happen to the Chinese demand for metals. I mean, one of the things that is related to Trump is you know, the fear of a trade war of some sort. You know, he's talking about sort of ripping up various trade agreements. He's had a go at the Chinese recently about their controlling the yuan.
Chinese yuan. They haven't played it fair, have they?
And, no, they haven't. But well, have the Americans played it fair? I mean,
of course they have.
So, one thing about Trump is you can imagine quite easily him annoying somebody. I actually feel quite comfortable that he's supposed to be pally with Putin, because Putin, in my book, is sort of the scariest man in the world. The Chinese, though, he could easily say something wrong to annoy them, and they're
already looking for an alternative trade deal, aren't they, away from America?
Yeah, and as are the Americans, and that would, for commodities, it wouldn't be a good thing. So, for you think of iron ore, and you think of the slowing growth in investment in residential property in China that we had a couple of years ago. Iron ore got hammered, steel's price in China came down, and it was all looking a bit scary. And then there was some more fiscal stimulus and more debt, and it's kind of picked up again, and iron ore's recovered. But a lot of the iron ore, the steel the Chinese now make, is exported. Now, if some issues happen with America and maybe even Europe, and the Chinese start exporting less steel, then you can see there could be a negative impact on the iron ore price. And in terms of copper, I mean, I had a chart of copper. I don't know where it is, but that's just gone. Copper gone crazy. And actually, it's at a level now which is probably reasonable, because it's been too low. There's been not enough investment in new copper mines. So although I think it will probably come off a bit, it might do well up until Christmas and then settle down, I don't think it's going to go back to the sort of $2 level per pound. It's actually probably nearer where it should be. But again, if China's debt situation becomes untenable, then I think, you know, it's sort of game over for all the commodities. They're all going to get hit, and that's something that you just need to be wary of. I'm not a seller of commodities. I'm a mining analyst, so I love commodities going up. Gold is especially important for our industry, but I'm just scared of China.
Concerned about gold, the reaction just since
The new man came in.
I think it's quite interesting because you had gold going down and dollar going down. That's what I saw today, which is an unusual situation. And I would, one theory would be that the gold market, which is actually a very sophisticated, massive volume, huge value market, although most people don't realise that. Perhaps the gold market is pricing in a strengthening dollar, perhaps a normalisation in terms of monetary policies in the US.
Initially, on the Tuesday,
it was going up
as if it was going to press a nuclear button. I mean, they were completely. It was a mania there.
Yeah.
And once he sort of came on like somebody's granny.
Exactly.
You know, it was like love and peace and God bless my father and my mother and the dog who helped me get there. I mean, it was completely like down home or whatever they call it.
So I use quite a chat.
You know,
yeah. I use quite a boring, it bores me because I've used the example before. It's in Peru, I forget the guy's name, but he was a socialist, so a bit different to Trump. He was a red cap, mates of Chavez, proper commie. Guy, yeah. And everyone was extremely worried that when he came and he became president, that he would, he would be a bad thing for the Peruvian economy. And the first thing that he did was employ a right-wing or centrist right-wing economic advisor, sort of Chancellor Exchequer type figure, and all their policies were pretty much, centrist. So, Trump, just the same, you do what you can to get into power, although I do question some of his strategy, but
you can see now from the acceptance speech that all that saber-rattling and the nutty comments were just literally to get votes in the White House. Now he'll probably be like...
It's a sad sort of indictment.
It's a total indictment.
US
of, exactly,
people.
Yes. Yeah, it's just like all the Bruce Springsteen fans, you could do this, we're going to do that, and then nothing, and that's probably what it's going to be. So he'll be very conservative.
He'll do one or two things just to keep them happy and make some noise. But I guess with gold, I think the gold market may well be pricing in a strengthening dollar. That's why it's come off, and the dollar weakness is just a sort of temporary thing. The other thing I wanted to talk about was the Trump impact on equity markets, and I think I had a chart here of
next slide.
Just the okay. So that's monetary policy. That's Trump has talked about normalising monetary policy. I'm not a Trump fan, but I am not a fan of the political elite and of monetary policy over the last 30, 40 years, of the increasing debt of people like Yellen and her predecessors who think, well, let's just keep interest rates low for long, and that's great. I don't think necessarily that they're doing the right thing. And I think Trump is going to try and normalise things, which basically means increasing interest rates, although actually the Fed's behind the curve, and I think this shows you that they're going to be forced to increase interest rate. Now, if you go to the next chart, we all remember QE1, QE2, QE3, and basically, I think QE1 was it not like here?
Yeah.
Or was it there? But it was, I think it was March 2008? And ever since then, the markets have just gone skyrocketing. Now, if you take away easy monetary policies, whether by design or because you're forced, then you can kind of see valuations reversing a bit, and especially
reversion to mean.
And wouldn't it be nice to be able to look at the valuation of a sector and say, well, traditionally they've they've traded on a P of this or an EV/EBITDA of this, and that we think it's going to cut, because that sort of fundamental analysis has been pointless in the last 6 years, and it makes the analyst's job pretty difficult.
Doesn't work very well on Amazon either.
Well, no. Amazon's actually surprised me. It's actually turning into sort of an okay business, is it not? I mean, having thought, I was a massive seller.
I'm not sure they're making
any money,
but
it's not quite Alibaba, though. They're doing very well.
They are making some money, at least. I'm not an expert, but I think if Trump starts to normalise interest rates, then we could have some weakness in the market.
We have a normal stock market again.
We could have a normal, but wouldn't that be good? We come back down, then we start again.
Charles, thank you so much. That's Charles Long there from Beaufort Securities.